While holding on Sadiq Zayin Ahmed Bey's the last few words, we learned in the Mishnah several cases where the Shoyol and Mashil, or Socher and Ma'or, where the Mashil and Shoyol, or the Master and Socher, the owner of the animal and the one who borrowed or rented it, have various claims and counterclaims one against the other. We had a case where he borrowed it for half a day and rented it for the other half, for example, or today and tomorrow, or there was different cows involved. In all those cases, we said that there can be an argument. For example, the Mashal claims that the cow that died, or during the time when the cow that died was the one that I lent you, or it was during the time that I lent it to you, etc. And therefore, you chayev. Now, we had several possibilities in the Mishnah. We said that you can have where the shoyol or the socher says, I don't know, I don't actually know which one it was or what time it was. So then we said chayev. Then we said that he's chayev to pay, or maybe at least based on the Gemara over here, maybe not necessarily chayev to pay, but at least that there's going to be a shavua, and if he can't swear, then he's going to have to pay. Then we had the other way around, where the socher makes the body claim, and where the socher makes the body claim, and the master makes the shema claim. You're saying that it happened when you had rented the animal, or with the animal that you had rented, but maybe not necessarily. It may have been during the time you borrowed it, or with the animal that you borrowed. Then we say the other way around, body b'shema, body adif, and therefore he's potter. Then we have the third case in the Mishnah where both of them are saying a body claim. So then we said, he has to swear. Then we said the socher has to swear. And the fourth case was neither one knew. And then we said yachloiku, they divided, because mamon amutal b'sof. So we started the Gemara yesterday asking that according to Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan also, who hold that when one person claims that you owe me money, and the other one says, any day, I don't know if I owe you that money, he's potter because I'm motzi mechavel l'varaya. You want to say that I owe you money, you have to prove it. Just your say-so is not enough. And the fact that I can't swear to the contrary doesn't matter. So according to Rav Nachman, how is our Mishnah going to work? So the last thing we said was, Rav Nachman had said that just like Rav Nachman says elsewhere, that we're talking about where anyway, there's a shvua between them on something else, namely that there's already part of the taina for which he owes him a shvua, and now therefore there's going to be another shvua as well, and now there's going to be another shvua as well because of Yugo shvua, and now he's saying I don't know, and therefore we can talk about our mission. So this is where we're up to. So the Gemara asks, "Hechi dami esek shvua? What exactly is the scenario of esek shvua where we're saying that in our Mishnah that because therefore it's mechuyev shvua of any yochel lishava that he needs to swear and yet he's not able to because he doesn't know, then therefore we're saying that he's chayev. What exactly would be the scenario where we have an esek shvua? So the answer is kidderoth. Like we find what Rava says. The Amar Rava, monali biyotcha. For example, Rava says in a different context, if Ruvain says you owe me a mana, Bahalo Oima Imlacha Biyadi Elachamishim, Shimon says, no, I only owe you 50, Bashar any Yadeya, and I don't know about the rest of it. So then Mitosha in Yochalushava Mishalim, so then we have the rule that because he's not able to swear, because he can't very well swear on something that he doesn't know, then therefore Mishalim. In other words, if it had been that he denied the whole thing, then we would say kofar hakol midaraisa, he's not chayav a shvur, midrabanan, you would have a shvur hesus that he would have to swear. If he admitted that he owes 50 and says, I definitely don't owe you the other 50, classic modu mixas, and then he'd swear daraisa. Here he's saying that I owe you 50 and I don't know about the other 50. So therefore, 50 he's going to be obligated to pay regardless. The other 50 he should have to swear on because Moedim Mikdas, but he can't because he says Eini Yedea. So based on that then, even appointed of Nachman, we can make our Mishnah work provided that we have multiple cows involved. Now, to be sure, the Mishnah only said, Parah, but we can understand that the Mishnah is really talking about that to begin with, there were a number of paras given over as the she'eler and slash skidus, and then we can talk about what happened to each one of them. Now, the exact scenario that the Gemara is going to bring over here, involving the multiple cows, there are the Ritva and some other Rishonim say that these next few lines of the Gemara are not originally from the Gemara, but rather they were added by Talmidim of Rabbi Yehudoi Goin. We've talked about, several times in this Masechta where they say such things. We've talked about before how such a thing could come about. Rabbi Yehudoi lives long after the end of the Gemara, long after even the Rabban and Severoi, who were able to make editorial additions to the Gemara. But what it is Rabbi Yehudoi Goin taught his Talmidim, and they would write notes in the margin of what he taught them, and sometimes those notes mistakenly migrated into the Gemara because later copyists saw them and thought that they were part of the Gemara that had mistakenly been left out. So according to them, this next piece may not be from the original Gemara. And in fact, they point out there are other ways, even without having extra cows, there are ways where you could make this work. But nevertheless, we have this in the Gemara and Rashi and Tosfos and all the Rishonim, analyze it and discuss it. So of course we're going to learn it as well. Anyway, so Mashkachas law. So in that case then, so given Rava's point of Mitoch Sheni Yochel L'Shava Mishalem, then you can have as follows, what's the scenario of, we said, Kigun Sheyesh Esek Shvur Benehem, that there's some kind of condition where there's some kind of situation where anyway needs to be a Shvur between them, and now in addition we have where he's not able to swear, and therefore we're going to make him pay. So like this, Mashkahasla, Reisha Bishtayim, the Sefer Bishalish. So the first case of our Mishnah, and by that we mean the first and second cases, the ones where the owner of the animal, so the first case, which is where the owner of the animal claims Bori, that you owe me because it was the one that you borrowed that died, and the Shoyal says Shema, I don't know whether it was that one or the one that I rented. And the second case of the Mishnah, where it was the other way around, both of those, we can understand that we're talking about there were actually two cows involved. And when it comes to the Sefer, meaning to say the third case of the Mishnah, where both of them are making a claim of Bori, and we're saying that therefore he's Chayev, we'd be talking about Bisholosh, we're talking about where there are three cows involved. So let's type it out. Reisha B'Shtayim, the first case of the Mishnah, meaning the first two cases, that is to say, the case where one is claiming Bori and the other is claiming Shema. The case would be De'omale, it starts out the owner of the animals, plural rather, because we're talking about more than one of them, says, Shtei Paras Masautiloch, I gave you two cows, Pauga de Yom of Sheela, or Pauga de Yom of Sheiros, for the deal was that you were going to borrow them for half a day, and then you were going to rent them for the other half of the day, or Chad Yom of Sheela, Chad Yom of Sheiros, or it was going to be that Wednesday you're going to borrow them, and Thursday you're going to rent them, or whatever. So now both of them died during the time of Sheila. Both of them died during the first half of the day, or on Wednesday, and which is the first day, the day of Sheila, and therefore you're chayev for them, because as a shoyl, you're chayev for the death of the animal, even though it's an oynas, as we know. But omalei shoyl, so now the shoyl says, yes, it is true. One of them died when one of the animals died during the time of Sheila. The idach, but as far as the other one, lo yadina, idan Sheila mesa, idan schirus mesa. The other one, I don't know whether it died during the time of Sheila or during the time of schirus. So now the mitocheni yocheli shava. So now because he's not able to swear, Mishalim, then therefore that would be what the Mishnah is saying, that he has to pay. So that would explain the first case of the Mishnah, and implicitly also the second case, that him claiming Shema is enough to make him Chayev, is because Mitoch Sheni Yochel Yishav Mishalim. So Rashi now points out like this, why indeed do we need another animal over here? Why can't we have, or we need two animals, why do we have to have that both of them died, why can't we say that one of them is still alive? So Rashi explains like this, because if one of them was still alive, then he would be saying, go ahead and take it, then that would be Halach. Now, we learned all the way at the beginning of the Masechta that in the case of Halach, we had a Machloikas, what the din is. We said, Modim Mitzas is where Modim Mitzas is where, again, Reuven says, you owe me 100, and Shimon says, no, I only owe you 50. Now, we talked about a case where he says, not only I owe you 50, but heilach, here the money is available. Does that make him a moed u'mitzas or not? So we said there that the Gemara had brought there a statement that would be considered moedu mitzas. But then Rav Sheshes had disagreed with that. We said based on a braisa of Rav Chia that Rav Chia had said in that case heilach is chayev, and Rav Sheshes had disagreed and said that heilach is potter, because once he says heilach, then it's considered as though the other guy already has them, and therefore there's no moedu mitzas, because he's not being moedu on part of the claim and denying part of it. Part of it, we say, in effect, there's no claim at all, because it's already considered back in the hands of the malva. Well, similarly over here, then Rashi points out, because on the ground, according to Rav Sheshes, that says that by Halach, you don't consider it moedu mitzas, and in fact, the halacha is indeed like Rav Sheshes in that. So you can't say that either cow is still alive, otherwise you have Halach over here. Now there is some interesting discussion about that among Rishonim, on the question, Bechlal, if we have over here, the question that we'll discuss is going to be on the Sefer. So we'll get to that in a minute. Tosfos does point out, actually, that really there are other cases. We don't need Davka Mitosheni Yochel to Shavim B'Shalim, where we've got multiple cows, and one of them, he says, I agree with you what happened to it, and the other one, I don't know. Really, Tosfos points out, you could also have a case where he's Choshud Al HaShvur. On the face of it, you could have a case where Reuven is saying to Shimon, Reuven, the owner of the cows, is saying that they died during the time of Sheila, and Shimon is not claiming only part of it, but he's saying that one of them yes and one of them no, but he's choshed al shvur. The difference is, though, Tosfos says that in that case, in that case, then we would say the other way around. We would say when choshed al shvur. We're going to learn about this in Masechta Shavuos in detail next year, Be'ez Hashem. In certain cases of choshed al shvur, we flip around the shvur and we make the other one swear. So in our scenario, if Reuven says to Shimon, "You owe me for two cows," and Shimon says, "I only owe you for one, and the other one I do not owe you for," and Shimon is choshed al shvur, then Tosfos says that would be one of those cases where Beis Din would tell Reuven, "Look, normally Shimon should swear, but he's choshed al shvur and he can't. Therefore, instead, you swear that it's as you say, and therefore you can collect." So that's why the Gemara is not using that as a possibility. So Tosfos points out also over here, and the point is not he's choshed al shvur, it's not that he can't swear because he's choshed al shvur, it's because he actually doesn't know. So we're not going to say that we're going to flip around the shvur in a case like that, only where he's actually choshed. So far we've said where there are two cows involved over here. So now, again, the owner of the cows is saying you're chayev to me for both of them. And the other one, the shoyl slash sozer, is saying, I owe you definitely for one. I agree, one of them was during the time of Sheila, but the other one, I'm not sure if it was the time of Sheila or the one that was Sheila or whatever. So then we'd be saying that he's mechuyav shvua, he's chayav shvua on the grounds of the first claim, the eni yochel lishava, but he's not able to swear because he doesn't know, and therefore mishal. Next, continues the Gemara, Sefer. As far as the Sefer of the Mishnah, which was the case where both of them are claiming Bori, and we also said that in that case, because they're both claiming Bori, we also said Chayev. So the case in the Sefer would be the Gimel, would be where there are three cows involved. The Omelay, so it starts out, the owner of the cows says, Sholosh Paris Nasati Lacha, I gave you three cows to work with. Shtayim B'She'el of Achas B'Schiros, two of them I lent you, and one of them I rented to you. Umesu Hani Tauti B'She'ela, the two that I lent you have died. The Omelay Shoyal Ein, and the Shoyal says, yes, Chodu D'She'ela Mesa, I agree that one of them died while it was in my possession, and therefore I'm chayav for that one as a Shoyal. Idoch, as far as the second one, Loyadina Ida Sha'ela Mesa, and the second one, I don't know whether it was the one of Sha'ela or Dekaima, and then the cow that's still alive, the Schirosi, is the one that I rented from you. And in that case, then yes, I would be chayav to pay you for two cows as a shoyl. or the other way around, the Shoyal is saying that the second one that died may be the one of Schirus, and I'm Potter for that as a Socher, because a Socher, after all, is like a Shoyal Socher, and is Potter for Einsin, and therefore, and the one that's still alive is the one of the Shayla, and therefore, so that would be a case of Mitoch Sheni Yochel Lishav Meshavim. So that would work out. Now you have a discussion of Rishonim on the point, why do we need to have three cows over here? Even if he just says, I gave you two cows, one She'ela, one Schirus, and the other one says, listen, the one of She'ela is the one that died, and the other one says that one of them died. The other one, we say is not going to be halach, because. So we can have a scenario where he says something like this. The one that died, I don't know if it was She'ela or Schirus. As far as the other one, it is still alive, and I can return it to you. I can't right now because it's out in the meadow grazing. Eilach would be only when he's saying, I have the money or the animal or whatever it is available right now. So why can't we say that? Why do we need a Zet sign that we're talking about three? So now you have like this. The Raivad points out, as we go through the Sugya, from this and from other details later on in the Sugya, the Raivad points out that the claim of She'ela and the claim of Schirus would be considered two different things. So in other words, the Raivad learns, like this, in the first case, in the Reisha, he's saying that both of them I lent to you, in the first case, the Shoyal was saying, I lent both of them to you, and I'm claiming that both of them died during the time of She'ela, and the other one saying, yes, one was doing She'ela, the other one, I don't know. But in the Sefer over here, where to begin with, he's saying, of the ones that I gave you, some of them were She'ela, and some of them were Schirus, and now I'm claiming that the ones that were She'ela died, and the one that's Schirus not. And the other one is saying the other way around, Schirus yes, She'ela no. In that case, the Raivad learns that that's not considered Modu Amitzas. And therefore the result would be, so then we wouldn't have Chayev. So in order to make it Chayev, the only way would be, that's why the Gemara has to have three animals over here. And now he's saying, as far as one of them, so you're saying that I owe you for two animals because I borrowed both of them. No, one of them I owe you, the other one I'm not sure. And you need to work it that way. So in fact, the Raivad is discussing something based on the Baal Amor. First of all, the Raivad's position is based on the idea that if the animal is not available right now, then it's not considered halach. The Baal Amor and other Rishonim disagree with that premise in the first place. Just because it's located right now in the meadow, it is in fact considered Halach, and Rashi himself, when we talk about Halach at the beginning of the Masechta, said as much. So according to the Baal Amor, the answer would be that still, if he were to say it's only two animals and one of them is not available right now because it's in the meadow and the other one died, we would in fact consider that halach, and like Rashi said before, according to Rav Sheshes, and that's the halacha. In the case of halach, we would say it's not considered modu b'mitzas, and that's that. The Raivad disagrees with that premise and says, as we just said, it's not considered halach if the thing is not available right now. So the Raivad explains that the two claims, She'ela and Schirus, are actually considered two separate claims, and therefore that wouldn't be modu b'mitzas. So that's why the Gemara has to find a way that he's admitting part of one claim and denying part of that very same claim. He's claiming She'ela on both of them, and then saying the two that of She'ela died, and the other one is saying that one of the ones of She'ela died, and the other one I'm not sure. The Ramban and other Rishonim disagree in turn with the Raivad on that, and say it is considered one big claim. So according to them, you would have the reason would be based on what the Baal Amor says about that we have to find a case which is not halach over here, and just saying that the animal is not available is not considered halach. Maharsha actually points out you could also say with two cows and say that one of them was Pshia. But it's not normal. First of all, we didn't say anything about Pshia over here, and there's a Gemara in Shavuos that also bears on this, from which also it implies that we're not talking about a case of Pshia over here. So that's what we're saying then, therefore. So we're not talking about, so again, in order to answer that our Mishnah should not contradict Rav Nachman, where Rav Nachman had said that if Reuven says you owe me a mona, and Shimon says I don't know, then he's chayev, but even Rav Nachman agrees that if he says, even Rav Nachman and Ravo spelled it out, said, will agree that if he says on part of the claim itself, yes to part of it, I don't know to part of it, that would be Mechuyev Shvuah. And Yochel Deshalem, very well then, our Mishnah is talking about that. And in order to make that work, we need in the Reisha a minimum of two cows, and in the Sefer, where both of them are making a tainus bari, we require a minimum of three cows. Okay. Well, now the Gemara continues, Ola Rami Bachoma. Now we have to revisit this according to Rami Bachoma. Namely, we learned back in Bava Kamma that, like this, when we say that a Asher Mechinam has to swear on pretty much anything that happens with the animal, because he's the only way he's chayev is Pshia or Shlichus Yad, and a Asher Mesachar has to swear if there was an Oynus, and so forth. When does all that happen? Now, in Bava Kamma, we learned like this. We had an opinion of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, who said that you need a modem mitzvah to swear, and Koifer Hakol doesn't swear. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef had held in the Gemara over there that that's only by a milva, only by a loan, and gave the reason over there, ain't on a may is ponov, and therefore he's not really denying the whole thing, he's just trying to stall for time. And Rav Chiya Bar Yosef had explained there that with the pasuk from which we learn the concept of modem mitzvah, even though it says it in the context of the shomrim, it's really referring to a malva and loiva. So according to him, therefore, a shomer would swear even if he's denying the whole claim. As we just had in our Gemara over here. So we're here, he's admitting part of it and saying the rest of it, I don't know. Meanwhile, so according to him, then the scenarios that we just brought up will work. Now, Rami Bachoma in that Gemara over there disagrees with that and says that no, even by a pikadin, even by a shomer, in order for him to be chayav shvur, you need kfir b'mitzvahs for hodah b'mitzvahs. You need him to be admitting part of the claim and denying part of it. He needs to be a modem mitzvahs, in short, by a pikadin as well. We had a very, very long Tosfos over there in Bava Kamma that discussed this and pointed out there are clear Mishnayos that say that. So how could Rav Chiya Bar Yosef say differently? And Tosfos discussed over there that maybe Rav Chiya Bar Yosef means that you need this also by a milva and not only by a pikadin. And there was a whole long arichos in Tosfos about that. In any case, the point is, according to Rami Bar Chama, he says, well, the Rami Bachoma, the Omer, our Bar Shomim, certain Kfir of Mitzas, Vahidah of Mitzas, according to him, in order for the Shomim also to have to swear, you would have to have that he's denying part of the claim and admitting part of the claim. You would have to have Modim Mitzas, just like any other case of, Toyin Vendita. So therefore, so according to Rami Bahama, the scenario that we had over here with two cows versus three is still not going to work, because you have, not only does he need to have, you need to have one that he's going to be swearing, that he would have had to be swearing on, plus you have to have ones where he's going to admit and deny on them respectively. Now, Rashi points out, because Rami Bachoma uses the expression, Srichen Kfir B'Mitzas V'Hajav Mitzas, he doesn't just say Srichen Hajav Mitzas. That implies, in other words, that even when you have, that even when Shvuos HaShomrim should apply, and there's no Kfira, no, you have to have Kfira, you have to have something that he's denying. For example, you never lent it to me, or for example, I returned it to you already, and appointed Rami Bachoma, only then would the Shomer be Chayav Shvuah. Now, when he says any idea, that's not considered a kfira. When he says, I don't know which one it was that died, or I don't know whether you lent it to me or whatever, that wouldn't be considered kfira. And in fact, Rashi goes on to say that as far as Rava's din at the top of the Amud, when he says, monali biyodcha, and the other one says, no, I only owe you 50, and the rest I don't know, Rashi says that Rami Bachoma would disagree with that point. Rami Bachoma would say for him to be chayav shvur, it would have to be that he's saying 50 of them loy hayu dvarim ba'olam. I only borrowed 50 from you in the first place. As far as the other 50, part of it, part of, so he'd say part of it not, and part of it I don't know. Rather he'd say 50, yes, I owe you. As far as the other 50, some of it, like Hoyud Varim Olam, and some of it I already returned to you. According to Rami Bachama, that would have to be the case with his Chayim. So now, applying that to our Gemara over here, the Gemara says, well, Rami Bachama, Da'ama, Abba Shomer, Tzrich, and Kfir of Mitzas, Vahidab Mitzas, according to Rami Bachama, a Shomer, any of the four Shomer, can be Chayav Shavua, only when within the claim against them, there is some Kfira and some Hoydah. So then, according to that, Mashkachas La Reisha B'Sholosh B'Seifa B'Arba. We can still make it work with multiple animals, but now we're going to need three animals in the Reisha and four in the Seifa. Because each time we have to add an extra animal for him to be Koifer B'Mitzas V'Hoydah B'Mitzas. Namely, Reisha B'Sholosh, so the Reisha, which is where the owner of the animal says a tainas bari, and the other one claims that shema. What we're talking about is d'omale. So the owner of the animal says sholish paras nasati lafa. I gave you three cows. Palga diyom of she'elo, palga diyom of eschiros. Half the day they were to be borrowed, and the other half of the day you were going to be renting. Or inami chad yom of she'elo, chad yom of eschiros. Or one day lending and the next day and the next day renting. Or Mesa Sholish Pula Be'idan She'ela. All three of them I'm claiming died during the time that you had borrowed them, on the day or the half a day or whatever that you had borrowed them. V'omale Shoyal. So now the Shoyal replies back, Chodah Lahoyed Bo Ma'olam. One of them, you never actually, it was only two animals in the first place. There's your Kfir of a Mitzah. See, denying part of the claim, I'm saying I never borrowed it in the first place. V'chodah, Ein, and one of them, yes, V'idan She'ela Mesa, it died during the time of She'ela, and therefore that's the Hodah of Mitzahs. V'idach, and the third one, Lo Yadayna, V'idan She'ela Mesa, V'idan Skiros Mesa, the third one, I don't know whether it was the time of She'ela or Skiros. So you have Kfir of a Mitzahs and Hodah of Mitzahs, and you also have...
That's different than Moda of Mitzahs.
No, that's what we're talking about, Moda of Mitzahs.
So Hodah is Moda,
yeah, same thing. But, yeah, the point is, though, that we still have to have, remember, in our Mishnah, we still had that the owner of the animals is claiming bari in the first case of the Mishnah, and the shomer is claiming eni yedea. So now, according to Rami Bachama, again, who says that for a shomer to swear, you need kfir of mitzas, vayodav mitzas, so you need what he says as far as the first two animals, otherwise you don't have, he's not kofer on something and he's not moda on something. Once you have that, then the third one he's saying, v'idach lo yadayna, ibi'idin she'ela mesa, ibi'idin skiros mesa, the third one, I don't know whether it died during the time of she'ela or during the time of skiros, and the result is mitzvah she'ni yachol lishav mishalim. So now, because he can't swear on that third one, therefore the result is he winds up paying. So Rashi explains, Rami Bachama again is saying that when the pasuk says ki hu zeh, and from that we learn the concept of the shvua b'shomrim, from the words ki hu zeh, we learn the concept of modim mitzas, because we're saying, in other words, that Reuven is saying you owe me X amount, and Shimon is saying no, I only owe you less. So Ashiv Yoima, where Reuven is saying ki hu zeh, this is what you owe me, and Shimon is saying no, I don't owe you that, but rather less than that. So Rami Bachama holds, because that's in the context of the Shomrim, therefore it means it has to be that way as far as the Shomrim. And therefore, according to him, you only have a Shomer is only going to swear only when he makes such a claim. As opposed to, again, according to Priya Bar Yosef, he said, Eruv Parshias, Kosev Kam, there's a mix-up of Parshias over here, and this Pasuk is actually referring to, to a malva and loiva, and again, Tosfos discusses in great length in Bava Kamma, and also over here, that even Rav Chiya Bar Yosef doesn't mean it doesn't apply to Shomrim at all. It's clear there are certain cases where it applies to Shomrim, but rather he says in addition it applies to a malva as well. Anyway, so again, in the ratio of our Mishnah, then that's the point, is we have a claim on three cows. He's koifer b'mitzas, he's moda b'mitzas, and the third one he says, I don't know. Sefer, as far as the Sefer of our Mishnah, namely the third case of our Mishnah, where each of them is making a bari claim, and we're also saying that chayev, we're also saying the shoyel is chayev to pay, that would be ba'arba. According to Rami Bachama, we have to understand that there are four animals involved over here. D'omale, it starts out, the mashal says, arba poros masati l'cha, I gave you four cows I gave you four cows. Shalosh b'she'el v'chod b'schiros. Three of them I lent to you. One of them I rented to you. Umesu hani. The three that I lent you have all died, and you're therefore chayav for all three of them as a shoyel. But Omalei, the shoyel answers back. Omalei shoyel, and the shoyel answers back. One of them is not so because you never lent it to me. So there's your kfira. V'chader ain, and one of them. And one of them, yes, the she'ela mesa. It's the one of she'ela that died, and therefore there's your hodah. The idah, there's your modu mitzvah. The idah lo yadayna idis schirus meso de kaim of the she'ela. As far as the third one, I don't know whether the one of schirus is the one that died, and the one that's alive is the one of she'ela. In which case, I'm potter on that third one because the third one that died was actually schirus, and as a socher, I'm potter for it dying because that's an onus. Or the other way around, as you're saying, that the one that died is the one of She'ela, and the one that's alive is the one of Schirus. So again, so we're talking about then there's Kfira, and there's Hodah, and there's Modi Mimitzas, and again, Mitochshen Yochel Yitzhava Mishalim, and again, because he can't swear, then therefore, because he can't swear on that one that he doesn't know about Mishalim, then he winds up paying. So that would be the third case of the Mishnah, where Ze'er Meshul of Ze'er Meshura were saying, in other words, so they are making body claims, but together with that body claim, there's also a Shema claim, that one of them, I don't know whether it was the one of Schirus or the one of She'ela, so the argument between them is which one was the one that was rented out in the first place and that died. So you have a body claim, but you also have a Shema claim over there, and therefore we touch any Yachal Yitzhav Mashalim. So according to Rami Bachama, that's how we make the Mishnah work. Again, this is all needed, really. First of all, Rashi points out, by the way, all of this is, well, yeah. All of this is only needed according to Rav Nachman, according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda at the beginning of the Sugya, who said that Bechlau, when Reuven says, you owe me a money, and Shimon says, I don't know, then Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say he's chayav to pay. So according to them, you don't need all of these details over here. It's enough that Reuven is saying, I lent you a cow for half the day and rented to you for half a day, and I'm claiming it died during the time of She'ela, and the other one says, I don't know, according to them, that would be enough to make him pay, and you don't need this whole case of multiple cows over here. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Ze'om Sh'ula v'Ze'om Sh'ura, we had the case in the third case of our Mishnah, where Reuven says it was the borrowed cow that died, and therefore the Chayev, v'Ze'om Sh'ura, and the other one says, the other one says Schura, that it was definitely the one that I rented that died. So then we said Yishava Socher Schura Mesa. So now the Socher has to swear that it's the one that was rented that died. That was the case we had. So I said it wrongly before, actually, when we were talking about the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah. What we meant is the beginning, the first half of the Mishnah, where we said where the owner of the cow was making body claims, whether because Chatzi Yom or Hayom and Macha or Shal Achas or Socher Achas or Shal Achas, all those cases, what we were dealing with now in this piece of Gemara over here about the Mechuyev Shavua and Yachal Yishava and all that. Now we're turning to the next part where each one says that is making a tainus bori. Reuven is saying, I lent you a cow, and rented you another one, and the one that I lent you was the one that died, and Shimon is saying that no, it's definitely the one that I rented that died. So now we said, the Mishnah had said, Yishava Socher for Schura Mesa, the Socher will have to swear, like any Shomer, that the one that was Schura died. So the question is, V'amai, why should he be Chayav Shvua? Mashatone, Loi Hodoloi, Mashahodoloi, Loi Tone. What he's claiming is not what the other guy is admitting, and vice versa. Meaning, in other words, that what's going on? Reuven is saying that you owe me for the one that was for the for the one that I lent to you. He's agreeing, you don't owe me for the one that I rented to you. Meanwhile, the other one is saying, no, if anything, I only owe you for the one that I rented from you. But in fact, I'm potter from that because as a socher, I'm potter for that. And the other one, I'm not disagreeing that I have to return it to you. So where's the motive mitzvah? Now, Rashi points out the whole previous sugya where we were talking about where according to Rami Bachama anyway, where there's kofa and moda, that was only needed according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Huna and according to Rav Yehuda, we said you don't need that. So then the question would be according to them that they would say that when you say any adeya, then you have to pay. But when you're not saying any adeya, when you're denying the claim, then you're potter. Most you're chayv shvus heses, but that's derabbanan. That's something from after the time of the Mishnayos. So therefore, in the Mishnah, why are we saying that he has to swear? What is he swearing on? There's no modim amitzas. Now we talked about before that the Ravid understands that we're actually talking about two different claims over here. The Ravid understands that the claim of She'ela and the claim of Sfirus are actually considered two different claims. So according to him, therefore, the wording of the Gemara works out very well. This is a classic case that the Gemara calls elsewhere, Tani Chitin Vahodoloi B'Sa'orim. That Reuven says you owe me X amount of wheat, and Shimon says no, I owe you X amount of barley, and those are two different claims. It's not even a matter of motive mitzvah. They're actually considered an admission on a completely different claim. According to Rashi, it's not really so much that. And in fact, Agoris HaGra points out, according to Rashi, the second half of the Gemara statement, the Mashavod, doesn't really belong in the Gemara. Because according to Rashi, the question really is, it's not that they're two different claims, it is all one claim, like the Ramban and other Rishonim say, but the question is that there's no Modu Mitzas. On the face of it, he's being Kofa Hakol. Because the Reuven is saying, you owe me for one that was Shaula, and the other one is saying, no, I don't. It's classic, Kofa Hakol. So according to Rashi, the question is that he's kofar hakol. According to the Ravid, the question is that there are two different claims, and he's admitting on one that he was not that he was not asked about. So the answer is Oma Ula Ayudei Gyubul. So the answer is that Ula says we're talking about when we say he has to swear, we're talking about with his Gyubul Shavua. Again, similar to what we said before, there is already another Shavua that he owes him anyway. So now once he's having him swear on one thing, then he can have him include other things in it as well. In this case, the fact that he's the one that was rented that died, namely the Omalei Ishtabali Izu Mihas. So at least the word Izu, we have sometimes in the Gemara, Izu or Izi, different Rishonim discuss, is it a word like you have sometimes in the Gemara, like in English, sometimes you have a filler word in a sentence, like then or so, or something like that. So Ishtabali Izu or Izi would mean so then swear to me. Izi, and so there's other explanations that Izi means my friend. So whatever the case, Ishtabali Izu Mihas to Kadauka Mesa. So then listen, you anyway have to swear that it died Kedarka rather than you were Peshea or anything like that. Omigud Mishtaba to Kedarka Mesa, once he's swearing on that it Mesa Kedarka, which as a socher, then he would be Potter, Mishtaba Nami to Sura Mesa, then together with that he's swearing that it was in fact the Sura and not like you're saying that it was the shame. So that would be now Rashi explains this is not following Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama had said on Amud Aleph that you need by a shomer for him to swear, you need kfir of mitzvahs by a dar mitzvahs. If that were the case, then this wouldn't work over here because there's no kfir of mitzvahs. He's not denying part of the claim. He's saying that I don't owe you anything because it was the one of schirus that died. So this part of this what the Gemara is saying over here would not be according to Rami Bachama. Rather, it would be according to the Chiya Bar Yosef, who said that, as we said before, that the whole concept of Mordim Mitzvahs does not apply to a Shomer, or as Tosfos says in Bava Kamma and over here, it maybe only applies to a Shomer in some very limited cases, and therefore that's what we're saying over here. Just because he's saying that I don't owe you anything, that alone makes him Chayav Shvua. But if it weren't for the fact that it wouldn't be strong enough to trigger a shvur by itself, because again, either because like Rashi says it's kofar hakol, or because like the Ravid says, because it's two different claims, and he's answering a claim that wasn't made b'chlal, so therefore we require that there is a claim that he's making him swear for, and then we include the shvur with it. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, the fourth case was Ze'erim Eni Yadeh V'Ze'erim Machula. Reuven says that I don't know whether the one that I rented you or the guide or the one that I lent you or during the time that I lent versus rented or whatever. And the other one also says I don't know. So the Mishnah had said Yachloi. So they have to divide it. So each one, so in other words, the Shomer pays half. So Hamani, the Gemara says, who is this like? Sumchasi. This would be specifically according to Sumchus. The Amar Momen Amoto B'Safek Chokin. Sumchus holds when you have a Safek on money, then Chokin, according to the Chachamim, we say Amotzi V'Chavel Raya, and according to them, there's nothing to talk about dividing it. He would be completely Potter unless the other one can prove or at least make a tainus body that in fact he's owed this money. So now most of the Rishonim learn that the halacha is not like Sumchus. So in that case, then why do we have a Stam Mishnah like that? So there are in fact a couple of Rishonim who say that maybe indeed there are a couple of Rishonim who learn that maybe the halacha is indeed like Sumchus. About Momen Amoto B'Safek Chokin. We'll talk about it more later on at Daf Kuf Bes Hashem when we deal more with this din of Momen Amoto B'Safek. So we're going to have the classic case over there of Hamachlis Parah B'Chamer. But if we say the halacha is not like Sumchus at all, then the Ritva says because the Tana of the Mishnah wanted to find what would happen according to all four of them, different cases that would happen in each case. Chayev Potter, Chayev Shavua, or Chokin, and the only way to make a distinction with that fourth one would be according to Sumchus. So therefore, according to that, the Tana doesn't mind giving us a Sam Mishnah according to an opinion that the halacha is not like, because at least this way it gives us different possible scenarios to say for each different possible Piskei Dinim to say for each of the four cases. Okay. The Gemara says, Boyer of Abba Bamemel. Now, Rab Abba Bamemel asks the question, we've learned in the beginning of our parak about She'el of Abayim. So what would happen? Shaul of a Bailin, suppose that the Shomer borrowed the animal, the Bailin. So now again, the owner of the animal is at the same time or previously is already lent out or rent or hired out to him to work. The Sochra Shaul of a Bailin, and then he rented it, not the Bailin. So Rashi explains before he returned it from the Sheila, then he rented it from him. Now, at the time of the rental, it wasn't Baal Avimai. Now, what happens is, if something happens to it, if it was Gnevor Aveda during the time of Schirus. So the question would be, Mia min Sheila l'chode kaima, with Schirus l'chode kaima, do we say the Sheila and the Schirus each stand alone, and therefore one has nothing to do with the other, and the fact that he started a new Schirus is, in other words, Rashi says, he did do Mashicha on the animal to begin with, and that was Babylon. Now he hasn't done another Mashicha to start the Schirus. Nevertheless, we would say it's not necessary. At the time of Schirus, it was already in his Chotzer. He was already coining it for the Schirus with Kinyan Chotzer, and therefore it's considered a new Kinyan. And again, it's not Ba'ol of Imai, and therefore he'd be Chayev according to the usual rules of a Sefer. Or maybe we'd say the Schirus is considered to be an extension of, is considered to be a part of the She'ela, Dramish Chayev, Gnevi Vaveda. Because after all, there's no new, when he transitions from She'ela to Schirus, there's no new Chiyuv being put on him. The same Chiyuv of Gneva Vaveda that are going to apply to him as a Socher applied previously as a Shoyal as well. Therefore, you could argue that it's an extension of the previous one, and since the previous one was She'ela Babylon, then therefore that would extend to this as well. So that's the question, in other words. So would we say that there's a new thing over here because of the Schirus? Tosfos points out, now if, for example, if he had rented it, Babylon, and then he rented it again, Shaloi Babylon, then yes, definitely we would say it's an extension of the same thing. They're both Schirus, and therefore we would say it's considered one long thing, even though he extended the rental. But here we're talking about, it's two different things, She'ela versus Schirus. Okay, the Gemara continues. If you're going to say that, yes, the schirus is considered an extension of the she'ela, because after all, as a socher, he's not adding any new chiyuvim. Everything that he was chayev before as a shoyel, he's still chayev for as a socher. The difference is before, as a shoyel, he would have been chayev for onsin, and he was only potter from it because ba'olav him, right? And now as a socher, he's not. Well, then we can ask the other way around. So now the question would be, socher v'bailim, sha'ola shloi v'bailim, mahu, then what would happen the other way around? If first he rented it, and then before he returned it, he borrowed it. So now the question would be, and again, the borrowing was shloi v'bailim. So now we would say, she'ela v'skirus v'adil v'shaifa, you for sure can't say that she'ela is included in skirus, because after all, she'ela has a new chiyuv of oinsin, which he didn't have as a socher. So therefore we would say it's considered a new thing, and now when the she'ela had started, it's not b'bailim, and therefore you can be mechayev, therefore there's no ba'ol of imay, and therefore it's chayev for anything that happens. Or maybe we should say, kivin d'shaycha b'miktas, kaman d'shaycha b'kolodam. Maybe we can argue that at least some of the chiyuvim of she'ela still apply to him. Some of the chiyuvim of that are shayach to him now were shayach before as well. Namely, the same gneva of aveda that he was chayav in as a socher, he's still chayav in as a shoyo. Now Rashi points out. So there's no question, obviously, if there was oinsin over here. So as far as Gneva Vaveda, Rashi says that no, there's no question Rashi says that he would be the same way as he with Potter from Gneva Vaveda as a socher, because Ba'al of Imai, yes, there's no question that carries over to the She'eva, because there's nothing new in that Chiyuv that there isn't before. Then we would definitely, since we said on the first one, Im Tim Tzalaymer, if you're going to say Meshach Shaycha, that one is included in the other, then you would definitely have to say over here, the Gneva Vaveda, which were included as a socher, are still included as a Shoyal, and he's definitely Potter on those. The question rather would be, as far as Unsin, can we say now, on the one hand, you would say, obviously, Oinsin is a new thing, which is chayev and as a shoyel, he's potter as a socher. Therefore, we would say the concept of ba'ol of imay doesn't apply, but maybe we would say that since part of his chiyuvim are carrying over, then maybe oinsin goes along with them as well. So that would be the second question. Continues the Gemara. Im tim tzaloy maloy amin and kivin the shaycha memiktas keman the shaycha the kol adami. If you're going to say that, that we don't say that because it's partially included, therefore it's completely included. So in other words, if we're going to say that just because before he was chayev in Gnei Vaveda and now also he's chayev in Gnei Vaveda, therefore the Ba'al of Imah should carry over. If we're going to say that no, because now we have a new thing, that comes into the picture of Oinsin, which we didn't have before. So Rashi actually does not like that Gusa. Rashi takes out these words in Tim Tzaloymer. It says in Tim Tzaloymer over here, but the Gusa we have in front of us is in Tim Tzaloymer loyam, given the Shaykh Mitzis, command the Shaykh Bakolagami. If we say that we don't say that, and we say that the she'ela is considered a new thing because it has extra chiyuvim that the schirus didn't have. Now Rashi brings that he had a girsa in front of him that said im tim tzaloymer kivin d'shaycha. If you're going to say that it is included because that it does carry over because it's included, Rashi says I don't understand how you can have such a girsa. So Rashi says the girsa should be loyam minan, and in fact, as is often the case, the text of the manuscripts of Gemara after Rashi had said such things and eventually when they were printed follows that, and therefore that's the girsa that we have in front of us. So we'll talk about soon what Tosfos says differently. So according to Rashi, im tim tzaloymer loyam minan kivin d'shaycha mitzvos k'man d'shaycha b'kol adami. If you're going to say on the second question that no, we don't say because it's partially included, therefore it's considered completely included. So in other words, we would say the she'ela is considered a whole new thing, and since there was no ba'ol of imay when he began the she'ela, then he would be chayev. Well, then we have to ask the question. Here's another possibility. What would happen if there were three parts? He borrowed it, the Bailim. So far, he's potter because Ba'olamim, right? Then he rented it, Shaloi Ba'olamim. And you're going to say, therefore, that the, and you're going to say that if the, and you're going to, and so now there's the Schirus in between. And fine, we said the Schirus is included in the She'ela because all of the things for which he's chayev as a socher, who is previously chayev for his shoyal, but now because of a shala, now he borrowed it again, still shaloga by them. Mahu. So now what would happen? Hodr asila sha'ela the dukta. Do we say that now the sha'ela is reinstated, meaning in other words, that the original sha'ela was by them, and therefore now it's all a continuation, and therefore we're back to sha'ela, and therefore he's potter for everything, even borrowing sin? Oh, doma, if sikala schirus beni or beni, or maybe the schirus interrupted things in the middle, and therefore we would say this, and since we just said that sha'ela is not included in schirus, because sha'ela has a new chiyuv in it, which schirus did not, then maybe we would say that, he is in fact chai. And then in a fourth case, what about Sochra Babylon, the Shal Shalai Babylon, because of a Sochra, what about the other way around? First he rented it, Babylon, then he borrowed it without Babylon, because of a Sochra, and then he rented it again, still Shalai Babylon, and then there's Gnei Vaveda, Mahu, then what would be the din? So again, the question is, do we say the schirus returns to its place, and therefore Baal of Imai kicks in again, just like it was originally? Or maybe the she'ela interrupts in between, and if we say the she'ela is not included in the schirus, because it has extra chiyuvim that the schirus didn't have, then the result is that now the new schirus, he's not, that the new schirus also, we don't apply Ba'ol of Imai because the Ba'ol of Imai that there was by the original schirus no longer applies. So that Girsa and that explanation is all according to Rashi. Tosfos points out that if you're going to say, like Rashi, that we're asking on the third case, where it's Sh'eila, schirus, Sh'eila, then what's the point of asking the fourth question, according to Rashi, who says that we're saying that if it's partially included, then it's not considered included, then how could we think in the fourth case that Schirus should return? After all, as we made it clear, She'ela is not included in Schirus, so there'd be no question that the She'ela in between interrupts things. And then Tosfos discusses that a little bit, and so Tosfos actually brings back the Girsa that Rashi rejected. So Tosfos says no. The third part of the question, it is in fact that the Gemara was assuming what about the intent salim? I'm meaning even the shaycha b'mitzas shaycha b'chol the dummy. That we would say that maybe that if you're going to say that once it's partially included, it's considered completely included, and the question then would be. And then the question would be, in other words, would we say, once we get to the third part of the question would be, we would assume, imtim salima, if we're going to say that yes, schirus can also include she'ela, even though she'ela has a new chiyuv that schirus did not, namely onsin, but it's partially included because gneva aveda carries over, then the Gemara is asking about what happens if you have she'ela schirus she'ela or schirus she'ela schirus, and then it's valid to ask both the third and the fourth questions. So the question would be, in other words, even if we say meshach shaycha, even if we say it is included because it's partially included, nevertheless though we're still saying that does the second she'ela join up with the first one, or does it join up with the schirus before it, and then the schirus before it was without violin, and similarly in the fourth question. So according to Tosfos, then it would come out that the imtim salima introducing the third one is in fact that we're saying imtim salima aminan, that if we do say that she'ela is included in schirus, but would that apply even where there's another she'ela afterwards, or vice versa, where there's a schirus and then a she'ela and then a schirus? That's according to Tosfos. Now, we have a rule in Halacha that says that whenever we have a rule that the Rishonim say, I think even the Gaonim say, that whenever the Gemara says Imtim Salomar, it means the Halacha is like that possibility. So therefore, when we have the first question over here about do we say that Schirus is included in She'ela, because again, all the Chiyuvim of a Soicha are included in those of a Shoyal, So then the Gemara said, "Im tim tzalaima." If you're going to say that yes, so the answer would be that yes, we do consider. Therefore, so if he did she'ela b'bailim, and then before he returns it, does skiros without the bailim, we would say that it's an extension of it, and therefore ba'ol of imo still applies. So now when we come to the third one, then you have the difference of diusos between Rashi and Tosfos. But on top of that, Hagos Hagro points out that the Rambam has yet another diusa which doesn't even have an imtim tzolayma before the third one. So therefore, in other words, it comes out that so the Gemara finishes off over here, tape that with these questions, we don't know the answer. So again, what do we do la halacha? The first question has definitely been answered with an imtim tzolayma. Therefore, in the first question, where he did she'ela and then schiros, without doing a new mashicha on it, there's no question that he is potter during that time for ba'al of imay because it was ba'al of imay at the beginning of the she'ela. The second question, whether we say if he rented it first and later on borrowed it, do we say that it's included? That's going to depend on the gersois of Rashi and Tosfos versus the Rambam, whether we say there's an imtim tzolayma over there. And what the result of that imtim tzolayma is, if there's going to be one, is going to depend on Rashi versus Tosfos, whether we've definitely said that it's not included or whether we've definitely said it is. Then we come to the third and fourth ones, where there's no imtim tzolayma at the end of them at all, and therefore those are definitely besot. And the result would be hamotzi mechaver of a ra'ya as usual. So the result would be, again, that if he rented it, and that if he borrowed it, and then rented it, and then borrowed it again, or the other way around, then we would say that because teiku, so we can't make him pay, because we can't be certain whether it's still considered babaylam or not.
He's lucky for the teiku.
So therefore, yeah, he's lucky for the teiku, I guess, yeah. Okay.
Okay.